This is Plus Money Golf on the Patriot Sports Network. A golf betting podcast that's
better than most.
What he said.
How about him? That is better than most. Better than most.
And now, here are your hosts, Adam, Smitty, and Eric.
Little technical issue there.
Sorry about that, guys. Got her fixed. Go ahead.
Awesome. Yeah, so last week, a little bit rough on the betting side, but a great tournament. It was back and forth, 10, 12 guys. At one point, I think there was 10 or 15 guys within a shot of the lead. It was great to watch. I mean, the last 2 days was back and forth, back and forth. Scotty's down two. He step away for a minute, come back, and next thing you know, he's like tied for the lead again. So it was crazy. Everybody was shuffling. It was like for a while on Sunday, every time someone got to 11, it was like, bogey the next hole, drop down, and then finally somebody broke through, and Jaeger ends up stretching a little bit. Scotty misses a 6-footer to win, and even Jaeger's wife was like, we thought he was going to make it. We were ready for the playoff, so it was crazy.
Yeah, I thought it was a really great tournament, like you said, to watch. There was so much entertainment value. It was awesome, you know, with all those guys like just scattered around at the top, all within 1 to 2 strokes. And if you're a live better, that was a nightmare, because I could have put tons of bets down and be like, for guys jumping into the top 5 or the top 10 or even winning, because it was just guys going on birdie streaks and then they'd fall back, you know, a stroke with a bogey. And like, it was just, and then all of a sudden, like you said, like Scotty just comes roaring and then he kind of takes a step back and then all of a sudden he's right there at the end. And I got to say, and you know, you can disagree with me or not, but there's something to be said about that last putt with Scotty. So I thought he was a little quicker on that last putt than he normally was or normally is. And he didn't take a whole lot of time. It was almost like he was thinking to himself, I really just don't want to play a playoff.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal for me to win this one. I just won the last two. I'm just going to get out of here and take a break and get ready for the Masters. Like playing another couple holes just didn't seem like it was anything he wanted to do.
He looked exhausted the whole week. Every time they showed his face, it was like the guy just looked mentally drained. And I think, yeah, either that or he was just like, it's a 6-footer straight. I just need to firm it in. And he gave it a little tug. I mean, I thought it was in the whole way when he hit it and he missed it. And Jaeger thought it was in. His wife thought it was in. Everybody thought it was in.
I didn't think there was any way he was missing that putt. There's no shot that he misses that putt. That's why I'm saying there might be a little bit of a conspiracy in there to the fact that where he's just like, you know what? Screw this.
Let's help this guy out.
I'm just going to the Masters, man. And this guy can have his win. His wife can be happy and whatever. I'm just getting out of here. Going to go home and sit in the hot tub for a little bit, have a glass of wine, and get ready for the Masters, because I'm going to come out and kick everybody's ass.
I mean, also, but you know, he was probably just trying to hurry and get through it so he didn't overthink it. Maybe it was like, in his mind, it was so straight that the longer he looked at it, it was just going to get in his head. But yeah, nice gift for Jaeger, but I don't know if maybe he missed it on purpose, maybe he didn't. Maybe it's just part of those putting ghosts coming back to get him, but 3 in a row would have been, I don't think anybody's won 3 in a row in a long, long time.
And I don't want to take anything away from Jaeger. I mean, the guy earned it. The guy played phenomenal all weekend long. And I'm not trying to kind of take his thunder, you know, but like at the same time, like Scottie Scheffler has proven now this entire season, he does not miss putts inside 15 feet, let alone 10, let alone 6 footers.
Yeah, that was,
you know? So, and it was straight.
Yeah. Maybe, I don't know. Sometimes when you're feeling it, you just walk up there and hit it. But yeah, it did look a little rushed from what he had been doing, but maybe it was just because he had been making putts all week. He thought, just go up there and knock it in there. It got out of his routine.
Yeah, it's true. You know, within the rest of the tournament, I think some interesting things to see. Like we talked about this on the show last week a little bit with Tony Finau, and we were kind of like, man, I don't really know where he's going to go here. And I know that's how I was. I was like, I can't pick this guy to win because he just hasn't done it lately, right? And obviously, he comes to a course where he holds a course record at, and he comes and plays really great. So It was really fun to see him kind of get back into the mix with things.
Billy Horschel.
Billy Ho, man. Billy Ho playing some golf, dude. That guy is all of a sudden back in on the radar. And
we were talking during the tournament. I was like, man, this guy's going to, for a while, I was like, dude, he gets to 11, he's going to backdoor himself into a win because nobody wanted to get that high.
Yeah, it's just nuts how these guys are all, some of these guys like Billy Horschel, like Aaron Rye finishes T7, you know, yeah. Horschel's T7. You know, you have one, two, three, four, five guys that finish tied for second. You know, that's absolutely insane. And you're not talking about like, you know, just modest scores of four under or something like that. I mean, these guys were all 11 under. So yeah, they're doing work crazy all weekend long. You also have Eric's boy, Akshay Bhatia, coming in T11. Oh, I was pretty disappointed. I was pretty disappointed in Alex Noren finishing 11th, having him plus 320 top 10. Like, I thought that was for sure. After the first day or two, I was really confident that Noren was actually going to make a run at winning this thing. And he was there for a while, just kind of didn't have quite enough. I mean, he goes 5 under on the day and on Sunday, which was pretty awesome. But
yeah, I mean, yeah. Taylor Moore played solid the whole week. He just didn't have enough at the end.
Yep. Skins played well.
I thought Dunlap played well too. I mean, 69, shot 63 on Saturday. But Bhatia, man, every time that guy got some momentum, it was like the next hole, it was like second shot in the bunker. He didn't get so streaky. That bunker shot he hit that kind of unraveled his whole round on, what was it, 16, I think, 15 mm-hmm. or 16. He just, yeah, 13, sorry. He was moving till then, and then all of a sudden it was just like he hit a wall. And then, but the whole weekend, every time that guy made a birdie, it was like the next hole he makes a bogey or, you know, bogey the next two and then come back with some more birdies. So,
yeah, like I mean,
Eric said he thought he was a little too far off the ocean to contend. So,
that's a good point. I thought it was interesting too with Billy Horschel, how he goes 6 under on Sunday, and he has one other day like that in the tournament.
Yeah.
Like he wins that thing.
Shot 71 first round.
That's tough.
On the bad draw with the weather. But if he shoots 69 the first day, he's, you know, it's his tournament.
It's unbelievable what one, you want to say, just below subpar round does to you, you know, in a 4 day tournament. It's a lot. But there's a lot of excitement going on there. Yeah. And I think a lot of excitement with guys that are actually even playing this weekend too. You know, I was a little disappointed in Siwoo Kim. Like he finishes T17, but he didn't play bad. Just couldn't, again, another guy who just couldn't get enough going consistently to really truly make a run at it the first 3 days. Right. I mean, You go 4 under on Sunday, you're doing something right, but it's just there's plenty of guys who are going anywhere from 4 to 6 under on Sunday that just couldn't make it happen.
Scotty breaks his 29 consecutive rounds of under par by shooting even par.
Yeah.
And then follows it up with a 66, 68. I mean, that's crazy to have close to 33 rounds under par. So,
well, and what a statement.
32 of 33 rounds under par. That's pretty crazy.
Well, when that streak ends for him too, you know, I mean, he could be like, all right, you know, I'm just not, yeah. I'm tired. I need a break or whatever. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's in contention the rest of the way. So he's obviously doing something right. People need to be watching what he's eating and drinking and how he walks and what he wears and,
yeah,
you he's know, whatever, because he's doing everything right now.
And everybody, you know, everybody knows that's he's doing that. I mean, it's mm-hmm. no surprise to the players. They're just, you know, he had basically one bad putt the whole week. He hit a couple water balls and like you talked briefly about the par three difficulty.
Yeah.
I mean, he got scooped up by, what was it, 16, two or three times, like where the ball hits the one, was it on round two where he hits it and it spins back in the water. Round four, same thing. I think the third round he did spun it back off the green too. So they definitely, the par threes were where you could make up strokes on this course for sure. Cause that was, I thought the best part of the tournament was the par threes with the little miniature stadium setup they had.
I know that was really cool.
Was it Friday or Saturday? They had Smiley there and getting players. Billy Horschel was on for a while, and you had said, you know, check it out because the the player insight was crazy good.
It was awesome, man. It was great having Billy Horschel come out and speak. You know, it's like the average golf fan, right, doesn't really know much about Billy Horschel just because he hasn't been like big as the last few years. Yeah. But this is a guy that's been on tour for quite a long time and has played everywhere and has experienced a lot of success. And so the fact that he comes on and starts shedding some light on the game and talking about, you know, younger players and talking about just how things are going currently for him and the course conditions, it was fun. I think they just can't do enough of that stuff.
Now, Wyndham Clark was on there for a bit. I guess he was at his house and they called him and he came back to the course. He was wearing like a t-shirt and shorts and just a hat, you know, like he was just chilling. So I think they should keep doing that every week. Obviously they won't be able to do it at Augusta because that ain't going to happen.
Well, right. That's that's different though. Obviously
it's a different broadcast. So, you know, it's the Masters setup, but that would be, I think, really cool if they could do it maybe at the par three tournament to get some of these guys like Jack or Tom Watson or Gary Player or, you know, some of these older guys that are kind of away from the game to come on. And even at the par three, I mean, they do a little bit through the Masters, but I mean, to get someone like Smiley on there, that seems to be the best at pulling information from players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fun. I mean, the Masters in itself doesn't necessarily need all that stuff either, just because of the prestige and like what's going on with that weekend and everything. So I we're going to be okay without some of those interviews during the Masters. But
I mean, the cool thing is basically the hype starts on, you know, Thursday this week, because we get the Augusta Women's Tournament. I've already seen pictures where they're playing practice rounds. They're getting to play. So they play Thursday, Friday, and then Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday they get to play a practice round at Augusta, and then they play the final round on Saturday, I believe. So that'll be cool. We'll kind of get our first look at Augusta, the changes, what it's playing like on Saturday, because normally you don't see anything about how it's playing until Thursday, or if they show some snippets of a practice rounds, but with the women having basically a full day of coverage on Saturday, it's going to be awesome. And then, you know, Sunday with the drive, chip, and putt, which is probably the best golf you can watch anywhere on TV, because it's just pretty amazing what these kids have to do to even get to Augusta.
Yeah, no.
And the skill you'll see, I mean, 10-year-olds that are getting out there 270, 280, and can chip and putt, and that's the future. I mean, you're going to see every kid swinging like Scotty, I guarantee. There's not many controlled swings in that 12-year-old group.
Right. And that's the beauty of it, because it's a lot, it just makes everybody unique and it's just fun. And it's pretty incredible to see what young kids can do nowadays. You know, I'm also, I sent you guys in our group chat. I sent that tweet from I think she's a writer from The Athletic, and where it just said, have heard multiple people that Augusta is as pure as it's ever been right now. And apparently the greens are like springboards. They're so firm. Sounds like the course just got an optimal draw with the winter weather as well. And finishes with, you love to hear it. I mean, that's what everybody wants at Augusta.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what we're looking forward to.
Look at the forecast. They get rain Wednesday, 60% chance, but like starting Monday, it's like 75 to 80 degrees, sunshine.
Money.
Could be some wind, just judging by the way it is around here.
Yep.
We could really see a whole different course, and it's going to be awesome to watch.
Yeah, it's fun. And you know, we see a tweet like that, and we've been seeing how the weather has been shaping up, and it's exactly what we were talking about last week. You know, it's just finally get to see that different little bit of a golf course, and maybe some of those old guys come out of the woodworks a little bit.
I did hear today that Fred withdrew from the senior event this week because of a bad back. That's 2 weeks in a row, I think. So,
oh man,
he's not going to be on my short list of long shots. I was kind of looking into
that's
it.
That's too bad.
Yeah, I know. I spent some of the time today just looking at players, and I mean, there was a good article, I think it was in Golf Digest, that I got today on their online about 13 guys to watch out for the Masters, best bets. It basically said, if you're going to bet Joaquin Neiman right now, bet Corey Connors right now, wait to bet on Jordan Spieth. because of the odds.
Mm-hmm.
But it's saying Corey Connors and Niemann might be your best two odds right now to take. Connors was at 8,000 and Niemann was at 2,500.
Until Connors goes back to back this week.
If he wins this week, he's going to drop to 3,500 maybe.
I know.
But I was looking kind of at it after your text about the course conditions and kind of went through some of the guys and the odds they are right now that probably have a good advantage if it plays. Zach Johnson, 100,000 to one. this guy won there when it was like a swamp by laying up on every par five. So if it's dry and as short a hitter as he is, which isn't that short, and knows the course, has a great short game, that, you know, a $5 bet on Zach Johnson or a $2 bet at 100,000 to one right now, it's pretty salty.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
But then I started looking down and you like, Wyndham Clark wanted a super baked out US Open, 3,000 to one. Kepka, 1,800 to one. Keegan Bradley kind of finds a way on these super difficult tracks. Brian Harman, British Open champ, difficult course player, 5,500. So yeah, there's some good odds right now at the Masters. If you want to kind of project out to next week, might be the best odds you get, especially for Rory. If he wins this week, he's definitely not winning next week. But if he finishes top five, that's going to be
that's going to make things very interesting,
especially with Scotty being the favorite still at 650.
Yeah. And for those of you that haven't been following along, right, Scotty Scheffler's having quite the year.
Best year since he won the Masters.
Like, just these are his results. I kept this up, this tab up, because I just wanted to read it, because I don't think enough people are really paying attention to just how well he's doing, right? So his results, right, this year in order, starting at the Century, right, T5. His worst, T17, T6, T3, T10, 1, 1, 2. It's insane.
Yeah.
It's absolutely insane. Like he's running away with the FedEx already.
His worst score this year was at the Century with a 71.
71, yep.
His worst round of the year.
He's got five rounds that's of 65 or less.
And that T6 at Pebble was the range shortened Pebble where we only played 54 holes.
Yeah, we only played three. Yeah. So,
I mean, he was in six going into the final round. Yep. Yeah, he could have already had three pretty big wins. He could have won Pebble, then the Arnold Palmer, then the Players. Could have won Phoenix and this week. I mean, within a few shots, this guy could be five wins going into the Masters.
Right. You play.
That's rare air.
I know. It's crazy. Like, he's played eight events so far this year. And his, so, you know, minus the one event that got cut short, all of them, he makes the cut, right? All of them, he plays the whole tournament. And his worst score is a 71.
He's won 11.5 million this year. Just to put it in perspective.
That's insane. I mean,
he's got almost 2,500 FedEx points. I mean, that's in itself is pretty unbelievable to have that many points already. The nearest guy is Wyndham Clark, who's had two runners up to Scotty at 1,500 points. So he's almost doubled up on the field.
Yeah, it's quite insane. You know, on the flip side of things, somebody who was really disappointing this last weekend was Will Zalatoris. I couldn't even watch him. Like he just did not have it. I don't know what that was. He was
bad draw. I don't know. Not prepared. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just
not prepared. I'm guessing. I mean, He didn't look that shaky, but he didn't look great at any point of the round.
Yeah, he never got anything going at all.
It seemed like this was a course where if you could get some momentum, you had to almost be careful, because if you started playing aggressive with that momentum, then the next thing you know, you're like making a double. With as very few water holes as they had there, there was a lot of guys that found water. I mean, Batia found it several times off the tee.
Which is crazy.
But you know,
cause what were there? What'd I say? There was like three or four water holes only last
week.
So that's not ideal.
and he missed it on the same, like, clearly is his miss that he's fighting right now is a pull hook. So that's the holes where he really struggled, where the ones he needed to hit a big fade out over the water, and he ends up hooking it or hitting it dead straight. So obviously fighting some swing stuff, but he is playing next week too. So
yeah. Well, I mean, should we get into this week?
Yeah. Let me pull it up here. So yeah, this week we're at TPC San Antonio at the Oaks course. This is one of the oldest tournaments, I believe, 1922. So basically when the PGA Tour started, this has been around. I mean, it's storied history in golf. Probably one of the better courses. It's Greg Norman Sergio course, but this is the one setup that a lot of guys like to play for their warm-up, because it is pretty close to Augusta as far as the way they mow it, the way they maintain the greens. The grass is going to be a little different, but we do have, you know, ryegrass overseed in the fairway. But the playability is going to be pretty similar to Augusta. And my guess is, as dry as it's been in the South, it's probably going to be baked or firm. So it's going to be really good. Same greens as last week, Poa Trivialis.
Yep.
Probably a little more rough here than there will be at Augusta, but all in all, it should be a good event. I mean, big names playing.
Yeah, there's some good names playing. I mean, and as far as the length of the course, it's 7,400 yards again. Like that's no joke of a course, right?
Yeah.
Looking at some of the, it's about middle, just a little bit longer than middle of the pack, on the PGA Tour, as far as course length goes. It is the third highest in elevation, which I kind of found that to be a little interesting. Yeah. It was 1,100 feet is elevation. So that was a little like surprising to me.
Some hill country maybe.
Yeah. 15th fewest bunkers. There's 64 bunkers there. Again, like not much water danger. Again, only three holes this weekend. You know, it ranks as the 13th toughest out of 44 courses this year. So it's, you know, for me, they have the greens rolling at 11. So just a hair shorter, I believe, than last week, right? They were at 12, I think, last week.
Yeah.
So they're going to be slow. I was looking
at the size of the greens. Are they pretty similar? Last week's were huge.
Right. Middle of the pack, 20th largest.
Okay.
Yeah. So decent sized greens for sure. Some correlated courses, PGA National, Riviera, Memorial Park, Innisbrook, TPC Scottsdale, and Bay Hill are some of the related courses that they're comparing.
Scotty's got a few of those wins. He's not playing this week though.
You know, I was looking at some things too, is that, there's definitely room, not as much as last week, but there's still definitely, an advantage for length off the tee. On certain holes. I mean, you're looking at three of the four par fives being 600 yards. So length is still going to play a factor. And it was funny looking at the rough here. It's like the second least penal on tour.
So they must keep it mowed down somewhat like Augusta.
Right. Which tells you then the bombers, right? Driving accuracy isn't as important. I was looking even at like birdie percentage out of the rough and off the fairway, and it's actually been higher from the rough.
Oh, maybe she can get some spin, maybe.
Yeah.
If the fairways are firm.
But, you know, I know that like with bunkers being 15th fewest, 64 bunkers total on course. The bunkers are no joke, which, you know, if you're not going to be making good bunker shots, then you're going to get yourself in even more trouble. So you got to stay out of those bunkers. Unless you're Jordan Spieth, then you're going to struggle there a little bit. And then the last thing I had on here was they tend to have some tougher or kind of tricky pin placements with firm greens, right, which lead to longer putts. Right. So if you're not tuned in, you know, you're going to be looking at 15-foot putts all weekend long, and that's not ideal for you, you know, or being on the wrong side of the greens. So those approach shots are going to be really important to make sure that you can handle and control the ball on firmer greens.
And your boy Corey Connors has won twice here.
Yeah, I know.
Spieth won here. JJ Spahn.
He won Connors his first time, right? In 2019, yeah. He won as like a Monday qualifier, I believe.
Yeah.
That's wild.
It's crazy because if you look, they've been playing here since 2010, and it's like a mix of bombers and kind of semi-bombers. I mean, Spieth's not a bomber, but JJ Spahn is. Corey Connors gets it out there. Landry, Kevin Chappell, you know, Adam Scott. So I was surprised Rory's never won here, which was kind of the one I thought he had won this one. So finished runner up in 13, and that's pretty much it.
So, yeah. I mean, there's like these bombers, man, like there's going to be opportunity to hit the ball. That's for sure. And with driving accuracy, not being all that important necessarily, I guess just making sure you're not in the way of things, I guess. But I mean, you got par fours that are, plenty of par fours that are over 450. You're looking at some 475 yard par fours as well. I think it's going to be fun to watch these guys hit the ball around because they're going to be swinging hard.
Yeah, for sure.
Par threes are kind of all over the place. I mean, you have a 240 yard par three as well, which is no joke.
Yeah, but that's for these guys. That's still three iron.
Yeah, but you still have to control the ball on the greens.
Yeah,
so that's something to look at, I guess.
I still like when they have these short par threes sprinkled in. That seems to be the ones they have the most trouble with.
Because they all have to dial it down. Yeah, and it's like half swings and you're between clubs, or you just simply don't have that yardage.
Yeah, that's a lot of it. Like even at TPC at Deer Run, they struggle with 16. It's so short. It's just, you know, I struggle there. It's a 125 yard shot. And it's like, for some reason, that's the one par three I hate to play there.
So, yeah. I think just guys have gotten used to, like the modern day golfer has gotten so used to having to hit the ball a long ways that they're just not practicing that shot off the tee anymore. Are they off the tee box?
You just don't usually have that par three.
You're not even going to have 125 yard shot into a green ever. Really?
No,
it's going to be more
right now. It's either 90 or for the tour guys, it's either 90 or it's 245. Like there's not much in between.
Right.
Or, you know, like they did make a comment about that. If this week, you know, Scotty had what, like 190 a couple times, and that's like his dialed in 7-iron. And every time he had that shot, it was like 4 or 5 feet from the hole.
Yeah. Because you just don't have guys laying up anymore. Right. Like for the most part, because how many times this last weekend did we see guys anywhere from 285 to 304 and they're hitting it onto the green, over the green, you know, or just short of it. Where it just trickles up to the side where it's just like, I mean, I forget who it was, but they were like 304 out and they hit it over the green.
Yeah. I don't have that, speed or distance. Was it Toasty? That dude can move.
I think it might've been Toasty actually.
I'd never heard of this guy and he absolutely moves it. He's like 5'6". He hit one drive 385. He had like wedge into a par five. It was stupid.
That's incredible. Yeah.
It's just, I mean, it just shows like you can figure out how to get a guy that's 5'6", 160 pounds to hit it 300 average. I mean, it's insane.
Well, I wish, because that's about my size. So
you got to have some sort of ability in built in there, I guess. Yeah,
that's right. I forgot about that.
But that's my size. And I, you know, if I really hit it good, I'm like 280, 285. Mm-hmm. So I probably is possible if I would swing faster than 108 miles per hour, but at 46 years old, it's not super easy to do.
No, I mean, it's tough. That's tough.
I'm in the Zach Johnson range,
which is still a pretty solid range to be in.
Yeah. If I just had a short game. All right. You want to get into some picks here?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. I got all mine figured out.
I'm excited for my picks this weekend. They could definitely be boom or bust.
Mine were all bust last week. Every single one. I had a Goddard up, finished pretty well. He just missed it. Like, had a couple guys that were sniffing at the kind of mid tournament and then blew up. I mean, you had Horschel and Noren in the top 10 and the Noren and Horschel in the top 20. So
yeah. And then Finau in the top 10 too, which was good. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, the Billy Horschel one and the Noren one, I was pretty proud of. I needed that. Well, Noren top 10 would have been.
And he missed it by a shot, didn't he?
By a shot. Yeah. That was stupid. Well, cause he was in the top 10 forever. And then, you know, even after he was done, like he was still in there and then all of a sudden, you know, one, like all the movement, man, it screwed everything up that way, but that's okay. For my first weekend, you know, I know it's not a winning weekend, but I had a lot of close. So I feel like I'm right there having a big weekend.
Takes us a couple weeks to get dialed in, and
hopefully it happens this weekend and next.
Yeah. Finish out on a run here.
For sure.
Who you got?
So my top 20, the first guy I have is Davis Riley. And it's interesting, right? I take him top 20 at plus 360, just because I thought that was a really good number for him. He played fantastic this last weekend. He really did. He was solid. But you look at things prior to that, it's not all that great, right? His overall numbers for this year do not look awesome. But if I'm hoping that this last weekend was a nudge for him in the right direction, he gets back to what we know he's capable of doing. And I thought that plus 360 top 20 was good for him. Keith Mitchell at plus 280. I have him again this week in a top 20. You know, prior to this last weekend, he had been in the top 20 for the last 5 weeks. You know, so he's a guy that's definitely trending the right way. You know, unfortunately just didn't have it this last weekend, but I'm hoping he can bounce back here at plus 280 and get me in the top 20 there. I have Byung-Hoon Ahn at plus 170. I'll talk about him a little bit more here in moving forward. But then I have my boy, Billy Horschel at plus 165. And staying with the other hot hand here, Alex Noren. And I think he's really trending in the right direction here. He's playing in the Masters this year too. So like, for him, he's at plus 150, but I think for him, he's hot right now. And a lot of guys are playing this weekend to get ready for next weekend. He's hot right now and he's thinking this is the best I'm playing in a while. I want to win. And I think he's going to come out firing. I think that's why his number is only at plus 150 top 20. And I like where he's headed here in that direction.
Did he win last year or is he in on the Ryder Cup exemption? Like if you play in a Ryder Cup, I think you get in automatic.
I
can't remember if he won. He might have won one of the end of the year or one of the fall events, I think. But I know they have an exemption for Ryder Cup players if you're on the current Ryder Cup team.
I'm guessing that's has to be what it is.
Yeah, they usually Augusta
before.
I don't think they have it right now, but
I didn't write that down.
They usually have a thing on their website that shows like once we get the final set up, like what the exemptions are, who. Okay. How they got in. I don't think it's going to show on their list. I was just looking. Oh, let's see. Yeah. But yeah, I think he's definitely playing well, so you can't count him out.
Yeah, I like him. I don't know. I feel like he's more hungry. He's hungrier for a win this week than a lot of other guys here in this tournament.
Yeah, so for my top 20, I got Camila Vijegas at 11 plus 1100. He's kind of hit or miss. I saw this weekend he was hanging out with a lot of the guys, so maybe they're down there resorting or whatever. But he's been playing good when he plays. He just hasn't played a lot. And then Padraig Harrington at 1100. He's a machine. That dude's senior tour, but he's bombing it. He's killing it on the senior tour. So I thought, man, that's pretty good bet. He's doing a little warm up for next week. And then I had Parker Cootie this week at 850, coming off the Corn Ferry. He already has a win out there, so he's playing really well. And then Austin Eckrod at 350. Just, I don't know.
I had a feeling that his name was going to be on your list this weekend. I really did. I was looking at those numbers.
The odds were just so bad for all the really good players. And then Ricky Fowler at 400. You know, nice little warm up. He's back at Augusta this year, which is going to be awesome. He hasn't been there in quite some time. So it'll be great to see him there next week. But yeah, I thought a little warm up week, and maybe he's just feeling it. Like, he's got the Masters vibes going early.
Yeah. So, I mean, for my top 10, we want to keep rolling here.
Yeah.
You know, I have Billy Horschel at plus 350. I really think that he's kind of gotten himself back into form here, and he's showing it. I like where he's at. Sticking with Alex Noren here, plus 320. Okay. I have Byung-Hoon Ahn at plus 350, top 10. Talking about him here now a little bit is, you know, he's got two top 10s in his, I think, four or five tries here at TPC San Antonio. And I think he finished T6 last year. So it's a course he's played really well at in his appearances. So that's kind of why he's on my list here. So we'll see how it goes there. Then I have Corey Connors plus 280, you know, just try to get it back to back, try to get his third win here. You know, his track record here, you gotta go that way. And then I think you probably already figured out that it was going to be coming at some point. Jordan Spieth here at plus 240. You know, it's weird because since he got disqualified, right?
He's played good since then.
He stumbled a couple times, and now he's, I don't know. I feel like this is where he kind of rights the ship a little bit, and I'm hoping that he contends at the Masters next weekend too, but he's got to show it, I think, a little bit this weekend for him to get real consideration in a major again, for me. But I like Jordan Spieth here to be in a top 10. And if you're in Texas, man, how do you not have him on your list?
What do you mean you hope he contends next week? Was it 2 years ago or last year? The guy couldn't find a fairway, didn't even know where the parking lot was at a tournament, and almost wins. It's like a lot of the old guys talk about it. As soon as you pull down a Magnolia Lane, it's like everything bad you've done the last season, it just goes away.
Yeah, you know, but I think for him, I think a little confidence this weekend would be great. And I think that being in Texas where he's comfortable, get him right and get him ready. I'm hoping he can do big things here. So let's see how it goes. I really like my top 10, which means it's probably going to fucking bust. But hey, we'll see what happens.
I would bet that a lot of these guys, because this is a resort, you know, they have like a sick water park there, that this is like, okay, Spieth like tells his wife, hey, we're going to take the kid, we're going to have a good family trip, because next week it's like, I'm not going to be doing anything with you guys except playing golf. So, I mean, it's, you know, a lot of these guys maybe just,
yeah,
it's kind of like a vacation week before, you know, weekend with the boys.
Mm-hmm.
So for my top 10, I had Corey Connors, obviously, because the guy, two-time champ here, and he plays well on these difficult courses at 280. Brian Harman at 360. Another difficult course player.
I like that pick a lot.
Billy Horschel, 350. Mm-hmm. That guy, once he gets on a streak or he gets something made up in his mind, it's like he
absolutely
clicks him. I mean, once he gets some momentum, that guy runs clicking off wins. Then for my fourth pick, I had Biesenhut at 450. Just name that stood out to me as I was scrolling through here. So it's kind of a random pick. And then, fifth pick, Tom Kim, lives in Texas, hangs out with the boys. He's got some of his crew here. You know, he likes to hang with Rory, Jordan, Max Homa, some of these guys. So kind of a cool trip. He's probably third wheeling it with somebody's family this weekend, but he's probably there having a good time.
Those are some of the best trips, right?
Yeah. I mean, all these guys have probably done it at some point, but yeah, I bet he's just hanging out with somebody's family, having a good time.
Yeah, I don't mind a Tom Kim pick here at all. It's not far fetched by any means for him to finish top 10 here. Like, that's,
he gets
not
streaky, you know, guy like that on not a super difficult course, but he's got length, and gets streaky, makes four or five birdies in a row, and then game
over. What is he, plus 500 or something like that?
Yeah, plus 500.
Yeah, that would be nice.
I thought all he's got to have is three good rounds, and he's probably easily in the top 10 this week.
Yeah, another guy that I was looking in that little realm there for top 10 was like a Russell Henley at plus 450. Yeah. It was interesting to me, but I just didn't obviously pull the trigger. I just really like the guys that are on my list this week.
Yeah.
You got Akshay on there too at plus 550, but I'm not sure.
I mean, Rye's down there. McCarthy's down there. Maverick McNeely. It's just, yeah, some of these guys, I don't know. It's like they've been hot all fall, and all of a sudden it's like they don't know what's going on.
Yeah, look out for Keith Mitchell this week too, plus 600.
Cashmere Keith, runner-up, yes, and kind of struggled last week, so.
Yeah. All right, are we going to jump into outrights right away?
Yeah, let's rock.
Okay, well.
I'll start typing because I know.
I'm going to go with the hot hand, man. We got Alex Noren at plus 3,000. I really hope that he's a guy that can – it'd be a fun story to get him
That's a big pick for you for a winner at 3,000.
Yeah.
Historically, that's a big one.
So, I mean, the guy, it was what? Let me see here. He's got, it's his fifth top 20 of his stretch here, and it's his third straight top 20. Okay. He's trending in the right direction. All of his numbers are just, he's fourth in greens hit and first in scrambling in the field. Like,
I mean, you like that when you're going to smaller greens from last week. Yeah. The guy that's good in scrambling is going to be awesome here.
And he was T15 last year in his debut. Everything points to him playing well this weekend. I just had to there. I have Hoon on all the way through the gamut here at plus 3,000 as well. You know, just another guy. Like I just feel like he can. He has a little bit of a track record here, playing here four times now, and T6 last year. Maybe he can make the jump. They have Corey Connors at plus 2,500.
You got to.
Yep. Jordan Spieth. Yeah, you'd be stupid not to. Jordan Spieth at plus 2,000 because he's my boy and he's going to get it going. And then I do have Rory in here at 9-1.
You mixed it up. I started typing Rory on the first slot.
You know, Rory, it's Rory, man. And like this course, he can dominate this course if he's dialed in. Can absolutely dominate that. And this this is the main reason why he's the only guy under under what? Like no one else is better than, I mean, Åberg is 12-1, but I don't know. I didn't love jumping on that train this weekend for whatever reason.
I think Rory might have took the, you know, time off that he hadn't played the last couple of weeks to get those driver issues worked out. Because that seems to be the driver and the putter, where he gets a little wild with the driver. He's still got the length, but the putter, his putting has just not been great all year, really. He keeps switching back and forth. I think he's finally stuck with this one putter, but he needs to get just something going. Like, it always feels like he's hitting it so good, and then one part of his game is just trash, and then he can't score.
Right. I mean, so he's only played twice here, which is kind of crazy. It was 2013, I believe, was the first time he played here. And he finished runner up.
Right.
And then in 22, he missed the cut. So that's Rory McIlroy in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Right. Dude can dominate a course, or he can just lay down and shit the bed, I guess.
I think this is one of those tournaments too, where a lot of guys want to have that trophy because this is one of the most historical events. Like as far as, besides, you know, like the Byron Nelson and some of these ones that have been running forever, this is one of the longest running events. So it's cool if you get that trophy just to say, hey, I got the same trophy that Hogan won and Sarazen and Byron Nelson and all these guys, you know, it's kind of a cool deal.
Yeah, no doubt.
So yeah, for my picks, I went with Rory at 900 because I feel like the time off, he might have gotten some stuff fixed just working on putting with Faxon or getting the wedges dialed, something. He needs just piecing it together. And then I also went with Åberg because the guy's got length. He's a straight ball hitter. Wind doesn't seem to blow his ball offline.
For some reason, I agree with you 100%. And like, he deserves to be in there, the talks with us. I just, for some reason, everything just aligned too perfectly for me to take him. But
him being the number two seed, yeah, that's pretty lofty for a guy that's basically on his first full year. I mean, what, he turned pro the week before the deer, so he hasn't even played a full year.
I mean, he's got 5 straight top 25s, so he's playing well.
But I mean, all the young guys that are coming out, like, you know, just think Dunlap and Aberg were playing college golf last year.
Yeah.
I mean, in the national championship, you know, final 8, they were both playing. So it's pretty crazy. And then I've got Billy Horschel at 3,500. Cause I just feel like after last week, he's got some fire. And then Brian,
I wanted to put him in mine too. So I love that you did.
Yeah. And then I went with Brian Harmon at 3,500 just because he's plays these difficult courses well. And then Akshay Bhatia at 5,500. He showed flashes last week. I think he's maybe going to clean up some of the mistakes he made with the driver, but we're closer to the ocean, so that's got to work out.
Touche.
I mean, like Eric would say, if we're within an hour, I think we're getting within an hour, so maybe it's going to work out better for him. I want to take Chandler Phillips, but he just struggled last week. He's not in the Masters yet. I want him to win, so I didn't pick him on purpose, because if I pick him, he doesn't have a chance to get to the Masters. So I wanted to, in case I have a winner's pick curse, I didn't want him to fall victim to that. So he was at 11,000.
That would be a sick, sick payday.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, one more Alex Noren plug.
Yep.
He's got, this last weekend was his 12th consecutive payday. So he's doing okay all of a sudden.
Yeah, him and Scotty seem to be cashing checks and breaking necks, as they would say at Prestige Worldwide.
Without question, man. I love when like guys that are quote unquote no namers and they start just cashing in, man. Be like, oh, top 20 here, oh, top T15 here, top T12 there, like T11 here. All of a sudden they're jumping, like, oh, they win. And it's like, oh yeah, this guy, no one's been talking about him.
Just, we're the only podcast on the planet that talks about guys that nobody's heard of.
I think we might be.
A lot of these guys I've seen, like, you know, there's more college tournaments televised. So I watch a lot of college golf just to see kind of what these new guys are. We see more amateur events with the US Amateur and then, you know, all these events. And then the Corn Ferry, or, you know, just paying attention to Golfstat and seeing how some of these guys are. I mean, PGA Tour U, they show every week on the bottom of the Golf Channel, like, who's the top 10. That's the future. And these guys are the ones that are coming out. And, you know, some of these guys, I've seen them play college golf and you're like, that guy's going to be special. And that's what we see. Like, for the average golf fan that doesn't pay attention to all that, you just see like, oh, who the hell is, you know, Vince Whaley, and who is, you know, Carl Yin and all these guys. And it's like, dude, these guys have been around for a while. You just haven't heard of them. They've just been smashing it on the Corn Ferry for years.
Yeah, I know.
And you know, the gap changes. I mean, the Keegan Bradleys and the Rorys and the Hideki Matsuyamas and all these guys are just getting older and older, and the new crop's coming in, you know.
That's the next thing I was gonna add, is like, we could very easily sit here and just chalk it up every week, right? And be like, well, yeah, we don't have Matt Fitzpatrick on our list. We don't have Hideki Matsuyama on our list. We don't have Max Homa on our list.
Yeah.
You know, but all of us, like, we're sitting here getting excited, talking about Billy Horschel and Alex Noren. And we're talking about, you know, obviously a lot of people know about Aberg, but at the same time, I mean, he's still a new kid on the block. Like you just said, he hasn't even played a full season yet. Mm. Right. So I think we're definitely looking at the present and guys who are playing well, but also like, these are guys that are showing that they might start being household names here.
Yeah.
Even someone like Alex Noren, I think, who I think is 41 years old.
Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, guys can come out and play really well at high level at 40 years old now. But the kids that are 20 are coming out with so much more skill set. I mean, every kid age 14 to 20 hits it a mile, and every kid 14 to 20 can putt. It's the small things that a lot of these guys don't do. Like Aberg has a very simple swing. Knapp has a very simple swing. Chandler Phillips, some of these guys are just like very simple, repeatable swings that have power.
Yep.
But they can chip and putt. And that's the thing that's hard for me to, I tell parents when I give lessons, I tell kids when I give lessons, short game is where it's at. I mean,
always
look at Spieth. Spieth is a prime example. The guy, terrible tee to green, gets up and down, makes, I mean, every time he's got a short, like a wedge in his hand from off the green, you're like, oh, this is going in. I mean, that's what you have to do. There's a reason Zach Johnson's still playing at his age. The guy has an incredible short game.
Yeah, I know. Like that's, you got to be able to get up and down. You got to be able to putt. I mean,
yeah.
There's no secret. The reason why all of a sudden Scotty is just jolted this year, right? It's the short game.
Yeah, he doesn't miss putts very. I mean, once he got the putting figured out, you've seen what he's done to the field. It's
yep.
They and all
I still think he missed that
6-footer
on purpose.
Hey, I mean, maybe Jaeger and him were talking on the fairway and he's like, dude, just if you had missed this, you would make my life. Like I, maybe he got into Scotty's head walking down the fairway. He's like, oh man, I'd just love to go to Augusta. Like what's Augusta like, you know, he's like a curious kid asking him. Like Scotty felt bad cause he's lapping everybody.
And or Scotty's like, just make sure you don't screw this hole up because I'm going to miss this putt here to make sure that I don't have to go into a goddamn playoff.
Yeah, I'm done for the week. Just please. Because, I mean, he almost had back-to-back weeks with playoffs.
Hey, it literally might be the only way that Scottie Scheffler loses is if he allows someone else to win.
That's almost the golf gods, though. Like, gave him a gift last week with Wyndham Clark and then took the gift away. It's like, that's how cruel the game is. I mean, Wyndham Clark has a vicious lip out. The next week, Scottie misses the hole from 4 or 5 feet. It's one of those things. It's like they give it and they take it away.
I know.
So yeah, next week. I mean, I kind of just went through earlier, but some of the people I had on a short list here, I just in case the odds change, just so we can see how much they change after this week. But like Keegan Bradley has the same odds as Tiger, Brian Harman, Rory's at 1,000, Joaquin Neiman. It's at 2,500. So Aberg's at 2,500. It's going to be real interesting to see after I'll probably watch a lot of the pressers on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday morning before I make my picks because I want to see what they're saying about the course. Because if they're saying on Tuesday that it's already firm and fast, You can pretty much take about 80% of the field and just wipe them out. Cause it's not, they're not going to have any chance, you know, like they always say, I think Brooks said it maybe one time. He's like, when you're playing in a major, if there's 100 guys playing, you can take 50 out cause they're first timers. And then you can take 40 more out if the wind blows and you can take 10 more out, you know, like you can chop it down to where basically there's 6 or 7 guys that have a chance to win, but it could also be firm and fast. The most electrifying Masters we've seen since Tiger won too.
Yeah. I don't know how guys can grind through win the way that some of the dudes do. I mean, I know I'm not even nearly even the caliber of golfer that you are, right? But like just playing in the wind, man, is brutal.
It's draining. Like physically, mentally, it's just not fun. Like that's kind of the way I always
play. And not even from the fact that like what it's doing to your ball and your swing, but like just the wind constantly blowing in your face for 4 or 5 hours in a row.
Yeah.
And you can't escape it. No, that takes a mental.
It's a grind. I mean, the good thing about like next week at Augusta, if it gets windy, it's almost easier with the height of the trees. It like almost creates like tunnels. So like it forces the wind down the paths. So you don't get a lot of crosswindage there, except like or up to the greens, the elevated greens.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's going to be real interesting. You know, we haven't seen anything from the LIV guys. They do have an event this week at Trump Doral. So I might check the scores or briefly watch it.
Yeah, I might have to look into trying to watch it a little bit, because you look at the, you know, the favorites right now, like Rahm's right there at 12-1, Koepka at what, 18-1. You know, you go down there, Neiman's at 25-1. Like,
yeah,
Cam Smith 28-1. Like, those are guys all right there. Who's with the big dogs?
Yeah, I want to know who's going to be carrying Phil's bag, because his brother quit. Like, his brother was caddying for him and quit, I think last week or the week before. So that was online, but there was an interesting video that Liv posted today, this morning, I think, about Anthony Kim basically just told a story about what's been going on the last 12 years. And I haven't got a chance to watch it. So I want to watch that just to see, like, I saw some brief clips of it where he basically said he got robbed and like he hated golf. It was just, he said, the scariest thing for him right now is that he's actually starting to love golf, which he never has. He said it just felt like basically a chore his whole life. So it looks like a great interview, even though it's put out by Liv. It does look like a great interview. So,
which is surprising because everything seems to be very cheap.
Yeah, I think he's been so quiet. I mean, he's basically been off the grid for 12 years. So he just wanted to kind of clear the air, I guess. So, even though there's crazy Anthony Kim stories, they're like the Johnny Manziel stories. You know, it's like, I know a guy who knows a guy who went to a bar with Johnny Manziel or something. And it's like, you know, it's just as crazy as you think. I think that's the way his life was for a while. So.
Yeah. I mean, when you get deep into that, like that gambling world and being around that, you know, there's a lot of other antics going on. So I'm sure he's definitely been around some dudes, to say the least.
Right. You thinking maybe next week an amateur might have a chance?
I don't know. I haven't looked deep enough into that yet.
Only five amateurs in the field this year. Because
how many Dunlap, were last year? Do we remember? Do we know? Well,
there was like eight, year? Wasn't there? It was the Something. Most ever. Because Dunlap turned pro, and he's using like his, I guess, before he won, he was using his Victor Hovland exemption to where, if you turn pro, but you're still the defending champion, you can play in the Masters still as a professional.
Okay.
Because the year that Victor, won the amateur, he turned pro and had to give up his spot to Augusta. He qualified to get back there, but
so now you can.
Now you, if you're the amateur champ and you win, it's like they called it, I don't know, people call it the Victor Hovland rule. So he can basically go there and play. So,
well, that's how it should be, right?
It should be. If you turn pro, you shouldn't get robbed of your amateur win.
Right. Well, if you're going to be the top amateur at the Masters, right?
Yeah.
And you're probably placing pretty decent, I would say. That means you're more than likely going to be going pro within the next 12 months.
Yeah.
So you can't, like, yeah, you should definitely continue to keep that exemption.
A kid that's a senior in college and he wins the amateur, and it's like, okay, now all of a sudden, like, I want to turn pro, but I got to wait till next April. Like, that's insane.
That's absolutely
give up your insane. British, you give up your US Open, you give up your Masters. Like, no, who wants to do that?
I'm glad that's not a thing anymore.
He won and he's going to exempt all four majors. So that's always nice.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? Are you about ready?
Yeah, man. I good luck to everybody. Hopefully we gave you something out there that can get you some wins and cash in on some bets, but hopefully this is a nice tune-up for us, as well as some of these guys in the field, and we can start making some real money next weekend in the Masters.
Yeah, that's going to be good next week.
Thanks for listening to Plus Money Golf. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. In the meantime, keep up with the show on Facebook and Instagram at Plus Money Golf and on Twitter at PSR Golf. Until next time.